time to be alive.
And this is probably going to be very racist.
Bonus.
I don't think I've ever heard the echo on the end of the bonus theme before. It's like racist.
Yeah, it's nice.
How are you, man?
We're doing good. I was just checking behind me. Somebody was going off in her little setup, but it's because Whitney just came in to let her out after her nap, and I was basically torturing her by talking at the end of the nap and not letting her out, I guess. So
you have your background blurred, but every once in a while I see like a figure like sort of pass by in the background.
Yeah, and we're
Liza, I believe.
Yeah, this is in like a tucked off part of the apartment too. Like nobody walks directly behind me, and I'm also like, we set up like a gate so she can't come in here anyway. But like, so there's no reason for anyone to be coming directly behind me. But you can see kind of off to the side here is where like the.
It's all blurry, yeah. So it's like a poltergeist or something.
Yeah. Oh my god, she's on the bed. She's going off. Oh, we got her. Do we want to hear? I'll unblur for a second, and we can say hello.
Please do.
There she is. There she comes.
Oh, there she is. Oh, wow.
Whoa.
You have to subscribe to the Ultra Premium Patreon to see this, which is being on the podcast.
That's right. It's a very high tier of subscription. Hello. Hello.
She is very sweet.
Yeah, we let her. We were too lazy I don't know. I wouldn't say hungover, but just tired this morning. And we let her kind of up in the bed for a little while just because she was just like being chill.
Mm-hmm.
So she was up there with us, which is probably a mistake. But I mean, she'll run up there when she's like doing her like zooming around thing.
Do you have a not on the bed policy?
We do.
Yeah.
It's a low bed. She digs, she pulls, you know, she might pee, you know, yeah. There's a lot of reasons to not really, you know, and in general, like she knows she's not supposed to be up there now, like for a few days, a couple weeks ago, she was just like taking her toy and going up there and just kind of hanging out. And it's like, mm-hmm. Hey, can you stop that? Now it's just kind of like if she gets up there, she'll run up and then we'll be like, Liza, and she'll just usually hop
She knows.
Off. She knows she's not supposed to be there.
But you rewarded her this morning for good
get
behavior.
Her out! Like, get her out!
A little bit of bedtime.
It was a combination of that and being too lazy to do anything about it. And also she's very soft and cute and was quiet. So she just kind of laid there between us.
It's hard to say no. Understandable.
It's hard to say no. She was
being
normal.
If you had a child, they would be very spoiled.
The instant that she started like pulling on the blanket and stuff and kind of like doing anything remotely strained, it's like, all right, that's it. Enough. Everyone's getting up. You blew it.
You blew it. Nice try.
This is what you want. You want to be as close as possible to both of us. So you had your chance. But
what'd you do last night? Anything fun or you're just sleeping?
We went to party at a friend's place. We saw a former guest and I hope sometime future guest David Roth was there. So
nice.
We chatted with him for a bit about various brain damaging things. we had somebody, there's a guy who like, we were talking about Whitney's job and stuff and baseball and somebody who did not, we met like in the course of this conversation came over and was like, oh yeah, baseball. And like mentioned that she knew a friend of hers was like a big baseball fan who goes to lots of games and was like, okay, hang on. He's like an influencer. And then simultaneously a couple of us were like, wait, hang on. Does he catch a lot of home runs? And she said, yes. And it's this guy who's like what's known as a ball hawk.
Get him
like
out of here.
He's like the most hated man in like the baseball world, basically, because he's somebody who's like constantly having to be like, well, if you watch the full video, you'll see that I actually gave the kid the baseball. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's one of those people.
Yeah. And that's funny because like that is a thing where if you just know that guy outside of the context of baseball and you don't know about baseball, you probably, from his description, like wouldn't understand that is like a universally hated guy. So you'd just be like, oh yeah, my friend is like, he goes to a lot of baseball games. And then it's like, wait a minute. Give me more info. Do I hate your friend?
Yeah. I mean, he's like not, you know, it's just like, that's just like annoying behavior. And it's a very like, Roth called it the Mr. Beast defense. He's like, I've given more to charity than anybody, you know. And
right,
like that
I
kind
give
of
the
thing.
Kid the baseball. Yeah, the Mr. Like, Beast defense.
It's like, it doesn't mean you're not annoying, and I would prefer not to be aware of you. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying you should be executed or something. Like, just, you know.
I just don't approve.
I would like all. To, I would like, yeah, Mr. Beast especially. It's like, I would love to never see your horrible visage again, you know.
Yeah. Your terrifying grimace. Get it out of here.
Get it out of here. Yeah. Just get everyone to move into that little cul-de-sac that you built, like your little weird company town for... Right.
Get them out of here!
Declare it its own nation and leave us alone.
Right, that's fine. Jade Helm.
Just imagining, yeah, Mr. Beast Waco. Just Oh, man. Sorry. Sorry for going into that. Visual.
I mean, that's where that feels like it leads. I know it won't, right? But that, you know, you have to kind of, once you have a weird borderline separatist type, or you know, everyone that lives here is going to be of exactly like mind and work for me. It's like, sure, that there's no way that ever gets strange.
Right. Yeah. That never involves the person in charge going completely psycho because their brain falls out of their head when they get that much power. But it's
like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, maybe somebody else could be the mayor. It's like, I don't think so.
Probably not. As the current mayor, I veto that suggestion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you unhappy with the way things are going here? It's like, I wouldn't say that. No. But anyway, no. Yeah, that was so. Liza's good. That's the end of that. But
glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. You're up in the Granite State.
I am, yeah. I'm in New Hampshire. My mom, so it was a good weekend to come because today is my dad's birthday. And 2 days ago, my mom has had this exhibition open that she's been working on for like months and months and months. And it was like a ton of work. And it's really cool. It's all about the old man of the mountain. Do you know about the old man?
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit, but I'm familiar. I know RIP to the old man.
RIP, he fell down on my 15th birthday. Very sad. I became a woman and the old man just collapsed. But yeah, it's like it's still a huge symbol in New Hampshire because we have nothing else. I used to have a joke about it, about how like in New Hampshire, it's like the main thing. Like it's on our license plates. It's on our quarter. It's... people use it as a symbol, like that's basically what the exhibit was about, was like all of these different things that had used the old man as a symbol. And then also about like, you know, some it sort of used the old man to talk about like the history of tourism in that part of the state and commerce and things like that. But it's like such a big deal. And I used to have a joke about how like if it had been in any other state, it would be like a weird roadside attraction and not like the main thing. Like if New Hampshire had anything else, we would have not had this be our main thing. But that's what we had. A jagged rock that looks like a face at exactly one angle. You have to be standing in exactly the right place for it to look like a face. And if you're like 200 feet off from that angle, you can't even tell. It's very weird. But anyway, was good. Check it out. Museum of the White Mountains, Plymouth, New Hampshire. It'll be up all summer. My mom worked really hard on it and it was really good.
The man of the mountain. I mean, he's a cool guy, you know.
He's a cool guy. I mean, he is like everyone who grew up in New Hampshire like remembers where like when they first saw it and where they were when it fell down. It's our 9/11, you know. Except no one died because it was in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the terrorism of... the terrorism of gravity, really, is what happened. But
right, yeah. It wasn't, it wasn't even like a climate thing, right? It was just like, well, it was just, it's time to, you know, like it froze and thawed too many times or something, right?
Like, yeah, like literally since, so... European people, there's like debate about what significance it might have played in with the indigenous people that were there, but it was first sort of written about in 1805, and by 1860 people were like, you got to come see this now because it's gonna fall down, like it is not gonna stay. And then there have been all of these like efforts to try to save it and, you know, like preservation and stuff, but it's like, yeah, this is a weird looking piece of rock that was not long for this world. Like it's the reason it's like sort of debatable what indigenous people thought about it is like, because it probably wasn't there for very long before it was first sighted by Europeans, because it's like this weird jagged rock formation that like was never gonna last very long. So
yeah,
not even climate change, but RIP the old man. That was probably more information than anyone needed to know about the old man.
I think it's neat. It's a good Wikipedia page. This feels like something that could be on Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. Could just be entire, like, that would be.
There's, I mean, my mom is like, she's been researching this forever. She like knows everything about it. And there's a lot of lore. Another thing I really like about it is that the last caretaker of it was this guy who, he was a state like bridge engineer. He like maintained all the bridges and he became like the caretaker of it, and his name was Niels Nielsen. I just think that's nice.
That's good.
An eccentric old caretaker of this weird thing is named Niels Nielsen. I think that's very good.
Wow, between midnight and 2 a.m. on your so it was was just like the clock struck midnight and it's over.
People, I say he died in his sleep, you know, he went in his sleep.
Bye.
People were people like woke up the next morning and were like, "Where is it? What happened?"
I've been in New Hampshire and I think I noticed the street signs had like a weird pattern, but like I didn't realize that the profile is on this. That's a fun little thing, like a cutout on the street side.
Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. Nice. He's everywhere. Yeah. That's another thing. I asked my mom what her favorite thing in the exhibit was, and she said it was. So they like, as this region like developed, they built a couple train cars to like the top of various mountains. You know, like Mount Washington, and they did one on Cannon, which is the mountain the old man of the mountain is on. And the hole punch for the train tickets punched a little old man profile into your train ticket.
Oh, that's
it was
nice.
Like a custom hole punch. It was pretty cool. So yeah, check it out. Check it out. And tell them you want, there's a really good t-shirt in it that I really want them to reprint. That's like a protest t-shirt, because they built a highway under the old man and there was a lot of consternation about that, and like people didn't want it. And so there's a t-shirt in the exhibit from 1970 that has the old man saying screw 93, which I really like and want. So go to the museum, tell them to print those so I can buy one. Thank you.
There you go. What else is going on other than this thing that happened 18 years ago?
20. It's the 20th anniversary this year.
Sorry, yeah, 20 years ago. 2003, yeah.
I'm very old.
I think it's still 2021 for some reason. Look, it could be any year between 2021 and now. I'm just kind of like, yep. I think
2019 to now is all 1 year.
I genuinely have a like hard time whether something is between like if it was last summer or the summer before. That's like a real problem that I've had a few times, like where it's like, was that 2022 or 2021? But anyway,
just try to track how nervous you were about getting COVID. I feel that's my barometer of like how stressed out was I at this event. That will tell me when it happened.
Right.
Speaking of climate change, speaking of scenic roadside attractions, I have a story from what are you playing? I don't know what this is. I'm trying to figure out who this came from. My bussy and me in the Discord. Thank you. This climate scientist in Alaska, which you'd think he'd have a lot to do, right? You'd think he'd be busy, but apparently he had enough time to research and develop a map indicating a route for how you could take a year-long road trip across North America while only going to places with consistently 70-degree weather. So you could spend your whole year with just a light jacket. That was his goal. And he did it. So here's what you do. You start in like San Diego. February 1, you end up in is Arizona or New Mexico next to California?
I don't know.
I think it's Arizona. So February 1st, you're in Arizona.
What am I, Rand McNally? Come on.
Arizona. Thank you, Shelby. March 1st, you're in New Mexico. April 1st, you're in Oklahoma. May 1st, you're up in Pennsylvania. So that's like a long, long stretch. June 1st, you're in Wisconsin. July 1st, you're up in Alaska. You go all the way to Alaska. August 1st, you're in Canada. September 1st, you're in Montana. October 1st, you're on the border between Colorado and Utah. November, you're in Arkansas. December, you're in Florida. So there you go. 70-degree weather. A lot of these places have nothing else going for them besides that, but that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
They're like mostly rural, like kind of middle of nowhere, but hey man, whatever works. And like the route that he followed is also following these weather patterns. So you could drive between and still stay 70 degrees.
Man, 14,000 miles. That's, yeah. I mean, I guess if it's a year, it's not that big a deal, but yeah. Have you ever done a big road trip?
I did. When I was in college, I went, we drove from Iowa to to Texas. So we went Grinnell, we stayed in Dallas one night, and then we went to Austin, and then we went to Big Bend National Park, and then we went to Carlsbad Caverns, Santa Fe, Colorado Springs, and then back to Iowa. It was really fun, except I got in a huge fight with my friend in Big Bend, so there was like no one else around and nothing to do except not talk to each other in the desert. So that was not fun. And like I saw him recently and I was like, hey, remember that like really big fight we had in the middle of the desert? And he had no memory of it. And I was like, wow, that like really hurt my feelings and was like really hard for me. And he was just like, didn't remember any of it. it was rough. I was like, wow, this is reopening this wound all over again.
Wow.
Have you ever
done
a big road trip?
Yeah, I mean, this is not really a road trip because it wasn't a trip for the sake of like, you know, being on the road type thing. But so I don't know if it really counts. But when after we got the vaccine, we drove down to Florida. So that was like a 2-day, you know, trip, basically.
Oh, just so you didn't like stop in between.
I mean, we stopped because we had it eventually. We stopped in like South Carolina as like a midway point. But, you know, that was fun. I didn't hate it. We had a weird like freak rainstorm in like Virginia that was very stressful, but otherwise, you know, it was like the first time like taking out the car, you know, I mean, not the first time, but like, you know, we'd only had it for like a few months and only gone for like a couple short drives, so
right.
You know, so it wasn't, but yeah, it was, you know, I finally got sort of like the cruise control thing that they have now with like the where it like slows down if the
it's
car
like
in front of you is it's
I still don't trust it. I'm freaked out by that.
I mean I still pay attention, you know what I mean, to you know, but it does, it's generally pretty good, it seems. So I wouldn't like, if traffic was stopped ahead of me, I like stop, I don't let it do
right.
It even though I think it would, you know, like I'm not gonna like let it drive in like stop and go traffic. I don't think that's
yeah you're not gonna
idea.
Like be doing Sudokus while it's carting you around.
Right.
I also did, I forgot, I did when I moved from Austin to New York, I like flew up with my cat and a bunch of stuff, and then like a month or two later I went back and got my car and drove from Austin to New York. And I did like, I like stopped, I like I did shows, so I like stopped in New Orleans, I stopped in Atlanta, I stopped in like Richmond, Virginia, and then I drove the rest of the way up. But the thing about that I remember is I had like the worst possible road trip thing happen where I got a flat tire in, and no offense if anybody lives there, but Lake Charles, Louisiana is one of the worst places I have ever been in my life. And I got stuck there. It's like an oil refinery town. It's like very sad and gross. And I got a flat tire there late, and I was supposed to be in New Orleans, which is like the most fun city in the world, like one of the best places I've ever been. And instead of doing a show in New Orleans, I was in a Holiday Inn in Lake Charles because I couldn't get anyone to help me with my tire until the next day. So thumbs down to that. That's the worst road trip thing that can happen. But it's fun. I love them. I'd go on another one. Probably not with a bunch of friends from college who I was going to fight with, though. I would not do that.
Yeah, that seems like a not ideal getting in a fight thing. Yeah, better to all be on the
same
team.
Desert, nowhere to go. Like, couldn't just like split off and go watch a movie or whatever. Like, literally, nothing around. Just beautiful mountains and javelinas, and that's it. So, not great.
Not great.
Carlsbad Caverns was cool, though. I feel like you have to see stuff like that on a road trip. Like, that's the only time you see it, I feel like.
Yes, I think that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of places that it was nice to drive through places I hadn't, you know, I wouldn't like make it a point to go to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I would have gone other than like maybe like a trip to Charleston or something. I probably wouldn't have gone to South Carolina. We didn't go to Charleston because that was out of the way, but you know, we went to a place that's like, I think like basically known as like a midway point type place, Florence, South Carolina.
It's where people meet up to have affairs, you know?
Oh, is that true?
No, I just, there's a 30 Rock where it's like, there's one town halfway between DC and New York, and it's just like, it's all where people go to have affairs. That's like the main economy of the town. It's like politicians and media people who are meeting up to bang. That's where you were. What was the midway point, like midway between New York and Florida or something?
Basically, yeah. You know, it was like the main, like, the biggest, like, big enough place that had like a few hotels to like book, you know, cause we pushed it like an extra hour or something and booked it, you know, but we'd had it on the radar as probably where we were going to stop.
I think we need to nationalize Buc-ee's. We need more Buc-ee's. I would do more road trips if there were Buc-ee's everywhere.
Okay.
Cause road trips in Texas are like shitty because it's not, unless you're going through the hill country, it's not very pretty. And it's really big, but they have Buc-ee's, so, you know, makes it worth it.
I have never been to Buc-ee's. Someday.
It's like a snack mall. It's like if a mall was all snacks. I feel like you would as a fellow treat enthusiast, I feel like you would really enjoy it.
Sure. No, I would be going into it assuming I would be I would be liking it for sure.
They have like every kind of jerky. Even kinds that like huge. They invented. Just they're innovating in the snack field.
and I like that little guy too. I like the little Buc-ee himself is a nice little guy.
I think if you were like a Texas person, you would probably have some Buc-ee merch because he's a fun little guy. But yeah,
that's
we need to get him everywhere.
Yeah, or at the very least, every business should have a little guy. You know, that's the main thing.
That is very important. When I was in Italy, there were nationalized like truck stops, but truck stops with like a really good food because it's Italy. So it was like, oh, let me get my truck stop caprese salad. That's like amazing.
Yeah, we stopped it. We drove from when I was there last summer. We drove from Amalfi Coast to Rome. That's like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. I forget how long it was, but we stopped somewhere along the way at like a what would be like the, you know, Molly Pitcher rest stop in yep, Jersey. Yeah. But it was like, yeah, super nice. And then you get like a nice coffee and like a little, you know, like, yeah, the whole thing was.
Yeah, you get your little espresso and, you know, it's great. We gotta snob it up over here.
And like people were going like there, you could tell like, oh, because it was an early, or it was like a mid-morning flight. So we were there like, you know, it was like 8 a.m. or something probably by the time we were at like most of the way there. People were like definitely stopping there on the way to work and stuff, which I feel like is not a thing that people do at rest stops here. That's not really.
Yeah, just going into my commute and stopping at the, I don't know, the John Bon Jovi rest stop.
Right. Getting like the barbecue.
My Roy Rogers breakfast.
Right. Or like those barbecue Fritos twist things like for your morning.
Yeah. That's the Italian version of a barbecue Fritos twist is just like a breadstick. You can go in and just get some breadsticks. Actually, I feel like breadsticks are an Italian-American innovation. I don't know if I saw a lot of breadsticks in Italy.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think they just make bread. I think they don't do like the stick form.
They don't do it in sticks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the chicken tender of bread. It's like a bread tender.
Yeah, it's dipping focused. yeah, these are things that, you know, it is innovation. It's, you know, they make it a little bit, it's like all Americanization of a lot of cuisines. Like they take something and they make it like for a little bit for babies. Like, you know what I mean? They take like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Add some sugar to it. Make it dippable, you know.
Like what if a 10-year-old could like give you notes on what this should be like? Like that's like the, That's how a lot of things got made. And look, I'm not complaining. I enjoy all of it. So
it's all delicious. A lot of it should probably be illegal because it's so bad for us. But it is all so good.
Give me my flavored powders, okay?
Yeah. Look, I want the savory flavored powders. I want the sweet and sour. I want the citric acid. Give me all of it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know when we're gonna go on the road like again like that. I don't think we're gonna go like because I mean if we're gonna go on like a trip, we're probably gonna fly. You know, like we're gonna go somewhere further away. So I don't know.
Man, I flew. This was my first time flying from New York to Boston, just because I got like really cheap tickets to come visit my family, and it was like a morning New York to Boston.
Yeah, could you even like take out? Do you even get to the point where they let you take out your computer or no? I feel like it's so fast that it just like.
I mean, I guess you could. I feel like they don't even announce that anymore. They're just like, we know everyone has their computers out. Like, we know you're all on your phones. Don't lie to us, you know? But it was funny because it was like a morning flight. So it was like 90% business people and then like three people like me in sweatpants. It was no in between. It was like suits or pajamas. There was nothing else. Yeah. But I feel like all those business guys had their laptops out. So
right.
I think the flight time was like 45 minutes or something.
Okay.
And I bet a lot of that was just circling, you know?
Right. Well, right. You literally are just like, whoop, whoop. You're like a, it's like a what is that? A parabola? What is that shape? Yeah. That's what flying like that is. I never really have done the short flights. I had to do them in Europe, like to go from like a regional airport to like the international airport or whatever. But like in terms of like, I mean, in college, I'm sure I've told this, like I got like the 10 pack of Delta shuttle or whatever. And then 9/11 happened like 2 weeks after I got to college. And it's like, yeah, we're not using those. And then Delta, to their credit, I believe was just like, yeah, here's a refund. You know, we'll figure it out. You'll be back or we'll be shut down or something, you know.
My brother told me about this thing that they did in the 80s, I think it was American, where apparently the airline was kind of in trouble. And so they started selling these passes. They were like unlimited lifetime flight passes and they cost $250,000. And it was like, if you give us this, you can fly on American as, you know, like book the flight, whatever, as long as there's room, you can fly anywhere. It's non-transferable. You could like add another one for like $180,000 or something. Uh-huh. It was like, give us this money. You can the rest of your life, you can fly American for free. And apparently they only sold like 150 of them or something. But apparently there are like 5 or 6 power users that have made this program lose money, like that are still out there fucking jet setting on this initial investment. And so like the whole project has lost them like millions of dollars because there are a couple people that are just like, hell yeah, I'm going to get my money's worth out of this.
Yeah. You never want to like tempt the points guys, you know, like
do not rile up the points guys. That's,
so to speak,
that's a ticket to.
Because they know how to do it, and it's easier than ever now to like crowdsource what the best way to soak somebody is, you know, some company. So
I went out to dinner with, it was me, my brother, and then it was after my mom's like exhibit, so it was me, my brother, and then a bunch of people in their 60s and 70s, and all of them were fighting over who was going to put the dinner on their credit card to get the points. They were all, and then they all started talking about their different points and whose points were the best. It was the whole thing. It was a sight to see.
Who now, when people are that age, I wonder how they settle up. They don't Venmo, do they? Do they write checks
to each
other? They
Venmo. They were Venmoing.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. There was one guy who gave the credit card person cash. but then everybody else Venmo.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, the winner of the points was very excited.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the right card.
There were like 12 people there, so it was like it's probably like $600 or $700, you know. So
yeah, points. and if you have like an Amex Gold, that's like four times. You get four times points.
Go.
I'm sure there's even better deals for other cards. I have no idea. You know, it's there's a lot out there. You know who was a big points guy? I think I've said this before, years ago probably. Dan Ninen was a big points guy.
That totally tracks to me.
Yes.
And I bet he like talks about his points a lot.
Cause he's like, his whole thing is that he's frugal, which I take to mean cheap, obviously. But yeah, like a friend of the show from online was in like a DM conversation with him for a long time about like started as a bit and then like just like kind of kept talking to him about points stuff as like a very strange kind of
points chat,
quasi social interaction with this guy who is taking on this huge life of his own, you know, outside of this. But yeah.
Well, I kind of sympathize with that because like when I get a deal on something, I am so proud. I get the need to shout your cool bargain from the rooftops.
Oh yeah,
but I try to restrain myself because that's like the most boring conversation possible. But right. I get pretty pumped about it.
It's like, yeah, you know, it's crazy. They had like a 20% bonus for the month, and that was like the last day. And I just happened to remember, and then I was able to get what. It was just, you know, couldn't have worked out better. It's like, great.
I got some stoop furniture this week that I'm pretty proud about. So, telling.
Did you see this TikTok thing, or it was everywhere? But it was this stupid looking blue couch that like somebody.
Oh my god! Yeah, that they got off the stoop. My stoop rule is. Nothing upholstered and nothing. Nothing with fabric. I will take the thing I got was like a wooden vanity. So I was like, okay, it is very unlikely that something is living in this. You know what I mean?
Right. No, but, I'm not saying, no, I that wasn't meant to say that your thing was being strange.
No,
there's plenty of good stuff out there. No, but this thing is like, it was like, it had like rips in it and was like,
nasty.
Had stains.
Yeah.
And her thing was like, well, whatever, I cleaned it. And it's like, that's true. And like, you know, you're the one that has to live with it in your house. And I hope you're happy.
You're the one who has to live with it and all of the like things that come with it. All of
right.
Like you have company now. You've
right.
got a lot of living things in your apartment.
Right, yeah, like your new roommates.
If you like... Couch on the street, especially that kind of couch, which is like, it's basically like a fancy beanbag, it looked like to me.
But apparently it's like some designer thing because it's like pretty expensive, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those things.
It's very expensive.
Doesn't it look comfortable?
Like, I'm talking construction.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a lot of places for things to live inside it because it's basically just a big mass of fabric and like stuffing. And you can clean the outside, but like you're not getting in there, you know? You can't fumigate the inside of a couch. You're not getting in there. But yeah, I mean,
well,
good for her, I guess. Did you say you didn't think it looked comfortable?
It does. It's because it's like that. It's like doesn't really. I don't know. Maybe I just my taste in furniture is maybe just too pedestrian or something. It just didn't look comfortable. I don't know.
There are a lot of those couches like that, like the cloud couch and like. It is this like new style of thing where everything is very soft looking and like there's no structure. It's kind of like blobby. And my thought, and maybe I'm just getting old and like out of shape or whatever, but my thought is always like, it seems like it would be really hard to get up from that. Like they all sit right on the floor and they're really squishy. So like, how do you get up?
So if it isn't a knockoff, which who knows, you know, because a lot of these things get knocked off, it costs $8,000.
Jeez.
Between 8 and 10. If you do think it's legit and it's, you know, and you found it, I mean, like that color is one of the colors. It's from this company Roche Bobois, which I have seen before. Like I think there's a on my walk home from work or something. I think there's like a showroom.
Yeah, it's like a showroom. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like a design. Okay, maybe it's a little bit better than I thought comfort wise, but it's still like there's something about like not having like a
back,
even like a quasi right angle from where you're the seat to the back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a cup almost. That strikes me as like it would be really bad for posture and like lower back stuff. But that's also because I'm old.
Yeah, it just like to me like a piece of furniture like that. It only works if the rest of your apartment looks like that. And I feel like if you're getting it off the street. Your apartment, the rest of your apartment doesn't fit that. So you just have like a normal apartment with this like weird, crazy designer couch in it. And I don't know. I don't think
it's worth it. Take it, clean it, make it as nice as you can, then try to sell it for like half price. See if anybody wants to buy it.
Flip it.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. Have you ever gone like, I saw another TikTok about Columbia move out weekend is like the best time to go snooping because it's like,
oh yeah,
rich kids just leaving,
yeah.
Have you ever checked that out? I'm like tempted next year because I saw TikToks of people getting really good stuff.
I have not, but I mean, I can totally understand. I mean, like you saw it in, and I didn't have anything fancy and I didn't really throw anything out. But like there is like that when you're moving out with your parents or whatever, you know, like freshman year or something. Like my mom definitely like over kind of, and she was very focused and did like an amazing job of like buying me all this organizing stuff, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of it was just like, okay, whatever. We can't fit in the car. Who cares? It's not going to fit in the van or what, So like there was like some of that with, and again, none of it was like super fancy stuff, but like I can see people who are super fancy people just being like, screw it. I don't care. We don't, who needs this? Whatever. Let's just get rid of it. We'll buy new stuff.
It's also like the perfect storm because it's like it's fancy people with a lot of money, but it's the kids of fancy people with a lot of money, so they don't think about how valuable stuff is because they don't know the value of a dollar, so they're just like, fuck this, it won't fit in my car, I'm throwing out this brand new pair of designer shoes because I don't want them anymore, and so they're on the street. And the nice thing is in New York, like if you put anything even semi nice on the street, it will be gone in 3 minutes. Like people be taking stuff off the street.
It is crazy how fast that happens. Yeah, it really. And that's one of those things that like people said to me when I moved here and I was like, that's not true. You know what I mean? Like people really just take stuff and it's that fast. And like it kind of is that fast. Overnight is like shocking. There was a huge like a block down, or not a block, like a couple doors down from our building. There was like a huge rolled up carpet or rug. I don't know, but it was like,
body in there, definite body in there.
Well, way taller than me. Like it was too, like it was not like a, it was a big ass rug or whatever it was. And it had like for somebody written on it, like a note. Mm-hmm. And it was propped up and like leaning against the wall of the building for a while. And then it eventually fell down. So I think it was Willie. I think it was the name. So I guess Willie never showed up because it was there for a few days. And it was obvious. The reason I became so hyper aware of it was taking someone out to go to the bathroom, go for a walk. She was very interested in what was going on with this thing. And you start to be like, okay, maybe there's something weird going on here. I don't want anything to jump onto her that's living in there, and then it lives with us. So there was concern there.
Definitely if that was out there, A, dogs for sure peed on it. B, someone still definitely took it home and just tried to like shampoo it or something.
I mean, it was definitely gone. It was finally gone, and I don't think it was on a garbage day that it got to. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you're right. I mean, I guess people finally were like, well, if Willie doesn't show up tomorrow, I'm taking this. Yep.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I know, like, so I live in a building with,
and
like,
I think it like rained in between too. That was part of it. I think like probably Willie probably gave up after like, shit, I didn't get there today.
Yeah,
and now
I missed my window. Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened to me a bunch of times where I've been looking for a specific like type of furniture, and I live in a big building, so like usually at the end of the month or the beginning of the month, there'll be like a couple things out in the lobby, and mm-hmm. I've walked by and been like, oh, that's perfect. If that's there in half an hour, I'll come back and get it. And every time it's been gone, like people, it just gets snapped up real quick. But I finally got one the other day. Very proud. Yeah, I have, in my apartment, I have my nightstand is stooped, and this vanity is stooped. I'm trying to think if anything else I have was off the stoop. I think everything else I either bought or inherited from a roommate. But inheriting from a roommate also is like semi counts, but my couch is just like got left in my apartment.
Yeah. So all of Cass' roommates have actually passed away. It's very suspicious.
When I was moving out of my old apartment, that's how it felt, because I lived in a 3-bedroom that had like rotated out a few times, but like it had never been that all 3 people were moving out at once in like probably 8 years. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it was like clean. It was like a fucking estate sale. Like I was like digging through a closet trying to get rid of all this crap that people had left. And I was like, oh, I guess someone had an aquarium in here at one point. Because, like, here's all these fish supplies that have been, like, buried in my closet, like, from 2008 or something. It was a nightmare. But I didn't kill them because I don't want all that stuff. It's
No one said that. No one said that. No accusations being levied. Just saying it's an interesting coincidence. That's all, you know.
I did get a lot of board games. That was like a thing that got left that I was like, all right, I'll take these. I'll take these off your hands.
Cards Against Humanity, several expansion packs.
Well, sort of, I feel like because these were older, it was apples to apples. It was pre Cards Against Humanity, you know?
So Cards Against Humanity, the Office Edition. Huh? I don't know. Is that a thing? That probably is a thing, right?
That probably is. I feel like that has immense energetic power, like malevolent energy. Cards Against Humanity, the Office Edition.
Let's see. There's a lot. there's a lot of knockoffs. I don't know if they ever got the license. This is like an Etsy shop, so this person is probably violating a lot of IP laws there. Box Against Office. Party game, against the office cards game. That sounds like it's really being legit.
Wow, so there's multiple versions.
Yeah, I mean,
several people have tried their hands on this.
What about this? And this is in the Friends font. The one with all the cards, huh?
Oh my god.
Cards Against Marvel.
We should get one of these and play it on a bonus episode. What a nightmare.
Cards Against Disney. I don't know how that works. Cards Against isn't the whole thing you're saying like gross stuff? Like that doesn't really work with Disney. Like
that's a good question. Is it like when they say Disney, is it like fucking Mickey Mouse? Like what Disney are we talking about here?
I'm like blowing the frog from Princess and the Frog. That's the that's the gag.
Yeah. No pun intended. Yeah,
I'm doing it to them. That's what's funny about it. It's not doing it to me.
So naughty.
Yeah, exactly. So even with The Office, that's pushing it. I feel like because that's a very sex free kind of show. So I don't really know. Again, not my. If we played that game, it would just be every time we turned over a card, it would be like, ugh. Like it would just be because it's like none of our senses of humor, basically. So yeah, we should do that. Definitely.
We should do it.
Let us know in the comments if you want us to do that. I'm sure you will, because you know that we're going
to
hate it.
They love to make us do things. Yeah, right, exactly. They love to make us do things that we don't like. So
we've said that we don't like it. So that seems like it's going to be. It's a good one on video. So there we go. See, we're brainstorming ideas live in the chat here.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you when we'll be doing Cards Against Humanity live.